back in the day, and you think about some of the cars that people have weighed in as far as their favorite car, classic car, some of the things that you see out at the cruise nights and car shows, simple cars that people and some of the feedback we get that they were able to work on themselves. You know, they were able to work on the car, build the car, fix the car, repair the car, soup the car up. And now those tables have turned. And now not only are people, you know, not able to really do much work themselves on the cars themselves. In fact, the cars are really doing a lot of work on you. Recording some of the data, figuring out some of your trends. Who knows exactly what they're doing? On the line with us, he's John Quain. He's a technology reporter. You've seen him on television, in newspapers, magazines, articles, recently in New York Times with his article, Cars Suck Up Data About You. Where does it all go? John, welcome to WGN.
Glad to be here.
So this is, I think, a natural extension, right, as the technology world looks to capture our activities, our actions in anything that we do for any period of time. You got to figure, and I don't know what the statistics are, maybe you know them, how much time we actually spend, you know, out of our lifetime in a car, in traffic. It's got to be significant. So fill us in on what's going on with the cars.
Well, the whole, you know, your car has become this connected device over the past few years as navigation systems were kind of the start of it. And they needed to be connected to be updated, information on traffic, et cetera. And then you started connecting your phone to the car. And, of course, that was following you around as well. And that's sort of a natural thing to do and use as well. If you're going to make calls hands-free, which you should be doing, it should be connected to your car as well. And from that, there were systems like OnStar that have been around for years. And, of course, very convenient system, great, great accessibility. Push a button in an emergency, you get somebody right away. Lots of great features about it. But that was sort of the tip of the coming iceberg of information because, of course, people want more information about what we're doing, our habits, where we are we on vacation, are we sitting in traffic somewhere, and all that information is valuable to marketers, to retailers, but to a lot of other people too. It's valuable to the municipality that wants to build new roads. Is this a good place to put a new road or a new pedestrian walkway or a good place for a bike lane? All that information can help them with that. So as we get to, you know, autonomous vehicles, when we get there, there'll be a lot of information about you and be tracking.
You know what? When you think about that, and here's the thing, I can understand for the communities as far as like the traffic patterns or trying to get new, you know, funding for roads, if they can at least have a GPS and really understand, you know, how many cars are passing through or what the rate is or where things get plugged up. That makes a lot of sense to me. When you mentioned the, you know, kind of these autonomous cars, you know, as we're looking at cars that'll self-drive, we've already got the ones that can park themselves. And I know we've heard from whether it's, I think it was Uber, right? That's planning on having these cars that will drive themselves down there. And every car is going to do that just as, and you know this either on your phone or computer, they kind of gauge like things that you've either searched or interested in. And so there'll be pop-ups saying like, hey, you know, it's a, you know, Burger King is right up. Is that what we're looking at? Is now your car will have, they'll let you know that Burger King is up ahead and that Burger King has, you know, half off burgers or things like that, where they'll try to capitalize on the marketing side?
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the first ideas that people have had. Some navigation systems will already do that. You'll see little pop-ups and things on cars. You know, they're just experimenting with it. The trouble is, since you're supposed to be driving right now,
right,
you don't want to be distracted by these things in advertising. And automakers are pretty sensitive, probably more sensitive than other businesses, to customer feedback and response. You know, things, if we get upset with something about a car, they're pretty sensitive about how we react to it. So it's not like they're going to start foisting ads on us anytime really soon. But there is a lot of this data. The trouble is in the United States, there aren't any real rules about how people can use this. So once you check that little box that says the user agreement on whatever it was that you checked, on whatever app it was, whatever navigation thing that you triggered, you've pretty much given them access to your email, contacts, where you've been, what websites you looked at. It's a sort of an endless amount of data. The only rules that really are real rules in the United States have to do with your medical records, with HIPAA. But other than that, it's kind of a free-for-all. So that's sort of one of the issues that we face in going forward is, should we have some limitations on this? Should we be able to control that data? Should we know who's looking at it, that sort of thing?
When you first think about it, it's the kind of thing that people would say, no, I would rather not do that. I would rather you didn't have that information. But, you know, you've got some very smart and enterprising folks that, whether it's a reason you mentioned OnStar or Bluelink, where they take just the kind of the safety situations, like, well, in the unlikely event that you're, you know, that the car is upside down in a riverbed and you need to call someone because, you know, this is a situation where you really need to have that connectivity. And you wonder too, as far as, you know, on that, if it's the kind of thing that's the entry point, and then you've got the marketing side of it. But they work so hard to make it so cool. It's just so great. It's so easy. Recently, my wife just got a newer job that is pretty far away. And so they work together to get, it's like a 2017 Hyundai Elantra. So it's an Elantra. So this is not a luxury car by any means. Very reasonable, very reasonably priced. But it's got so much cool stuff on it that you didn't even see from cars just maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It's amazing. It plugs into everything. The GPS is indispensable, really. And the, you know, on the music side and the tech side, they really work hard to make it so cool that, like you had said, you'll check that box because you need the stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Hyundai is a great example of a car company that sort of made this technology down to the mass market. You know, it started in luxury vehicles. Hyundai's really brought a lot of it to the road for the rest of us, that the rest of us can afford. And so that's a great thing, and there's some great safety features as part of this technology. And I'm very nervous about and sensitive to privacy, and I've been hacked, and I've had my identity stolen, and, you know, lots of incidents of fraud against me because of some of this data being out there. However, you know, when it comes to something like Waze or using INRIX for traffic information, I'm there. I'm happy to let them know exactly where I am and how fast I'm driving, because they have saved me, you know, applications like that have saved me 45 minutes on a drive, an hour, by avoiding some traffic jam. And, you know, I live in the New York City area, so around here it's an invaluable resource. And I'm certainly willing to give up that information, you know, for that kind of benefit that I don't have to pay for. So there are instances, I think there are a lot of things, as you raise, hey, there's some great places where I'd be willing to give up that information, but maybe not if you're going to tell me where the next Starbucks is.
Right. And that's the thing, too, because, you know, you've got to be able to kind of focus on the road, 10 and 2, all that kind of stuff. But as the cars become more autonomous and where you don't have to do all of the thinking and the movements on the driving side, maybe they can make a case that, like, we want to be entertained and you've got this great content. Maybe you want to watch this or listen to that, and they can filter in some of those ads as well. Letting the listeners know we're talking with John Quain. He is a technology reporter. You see him on television, in newspapers, articles recently, in the New York Times as well. And we're talking about some of the technology in the cars, the great stuff that you know and love, but the backside of it, because there's always a give take in the world. We're going to take a quick break, John. So if you could hold tight for just a second, we're going to take maybe 2-minute break. We're going to come back and then talk about some of the things maybe we don't know, maybe some of the cool things on the horizon, or maybe some of the kind of concerning things, maybe scary things on the horizon, if you think about the data and where it goes. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Phil LeBeau from CNBC-TV, and you are On the Road with Dane on WGN Radio.
It's time to move on. It's time to get going. 720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here, Allstate Showcase Studio, busy Michigan Avenue. Lots of cars out there, some older ones, some newer ones. Some that are collecting data all about you to use against you, or maybe for the demise of the world, or maybe, you know, galactically. Who knows? On the line with us, we've got John Quain. He is a technology reporter, writer, television correspondent. Recently, you saw John's work in the New York Times. John, welcome back to WGN.
Good to be here.
So we know about some of the things, and I felt, you know, during the break, I'm thinking to myself, how do I feel about all this? And I think we're almost just kind of just resigned to the fact that all the information that you've got, it's just going to become public at some point. Anything that you've got out there, they're going to be able to use. And ultimately, I think maybe to enrich your life in some way, maybe present you with options that they've deemed you're interested in anyway. So on the marketing side, you definitely see that. But what are some of the things that you found that are either on the horizon that either interesting or concerned you, or maybe kind of like really cool that we should look forward to, or maybe try to avoid?
Well, I'm very much, I keep riding, and I shouldn't say testing them, but riding in autonomous vehicles, test vehicles that researchers are using, and they are getting better and better. Some are better than others. Not, you know, a Waymo, which is Google's company car, behaves a little differently from an Audi that's a self-driving research vehicle. But I'm very keen about those. I do a lot of long-distance drives, and I think that that is something that people are going to really appreciate. We're a little skeptical now, you know, which is what we should be, but I think that's going to be a tremendous benefit. All those cars will be connected. They will have to be connected to make them really safe. And that data is going to be used. Now, the governments are sort of looking at it now. The automakers don't want any government intervention, but at some point there'll be some rules about how that data is used. The creepiness factor comes in when you consider what the smartphone is able to do. So if you have your smartphone and you're using it and it's live, and or not even using it, if it's on and it's in your car, it's probably tracking where you are and how fast you're going. It probably knows the last websites you want to, and it probably knows if you're using a dating app, you know, some data about that dating app. There are actually companies that put that information together. Your dating app, your browsing history, traffic information about you, because they can purchase that information from some of these companies. They sort of mash it all together and then can figure out pretty quickly how old you are, whether you're on vacation, where you are on the road, where you're probably going. It gets to be interesting, but creepy.
Well, you mentioned the creepy factor. You think about it. It's one thing to have Burger King ads pop up because they know that you enjoy, you know, the flame broiled burger now and then. But think about that. If the dating app is up and as you're driving along, who knows who with, it pops up that you're passing Brenda's house, who is a perfect match on 29 different levels of compatibility, you know, and right. Maybe she pop. You never know. Is it all going to be driven by dollars? And you mentioned the government as well. I could see, you know, them on some of the funding that they're going to allocate here, there, maybe even on the research side, where they would want to know some of these things about the habits and things that happen. But is it all going to be mostly marketing?
Yeah, it's difficult to tell. Right now, companies, the automakers, and even these people who make these apps for our smartphones are trying to figure out where they can make money, you know, where they can, in Silicon Valley terms, monetize this data. And but even companies like Facebook and Twitter are having trouble figuring out how to monetize that data. You know, Twitter is still making money and seems to be slowing down on subscribers, and yet it's at the cutting edge of a lot of this social networking stuff. So if they're having trouble, you can imagine what it's like to be an automaker thinking, gee, I just used to build cars and I was worried about, you know, how fast they went in fuel efficiency and safety, and now you're telling me I've got to deal with all this data and what should I do with it and can I make money from it? So they're still in a quandary about what to do with it. You know, the first things you'll see are probably your car being called in for service or something like that, that becomes much more automatic. You see some of that today. But how that it's going to be marketing-wise, because it's going to be very tricky, because I don't want to be, you know, stuffing my face in the car, even if I'm not driving the car. That's pretty intrusive.
Well, I could see it, too, is if called in for service, it's one thing if the car says, hey, it's time to get the oil change. It's another if it's like, you know, Larry's detail shop that calls, you know, that, hey, you got to come in here and, you know, get your tires shined. But it isn't something that's necessary. It's something that they just like for you to do.
I think the recalls, I mean, you and I probably look at that all the time in the automotive business. And the trouble is often they can't track down owners. Maybe the car's changed hands and somebody else owns it. You've moved, or you just don't pay attention to that letter in the mailbox. This could, you know, enforce those kind of recalls and improve safety in another respect. Look, you really have to come in for that transmission and your car's going to drive there if you don't.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it could actually do that as well, where it just your car's not in the garage. Yeah. And you just get an email that said that your car had to go get this thing taken care of. Well, there's some reasons like that. I think those are the entry points for all those other reasons that either we, you know, I guess can accept or I guess we're just going to have to deal with down the road on the marketing side. But good thing we are are blessed that we have people, you know, guarding the gate of our privacy when it comes to cars like you, John Quain. So let the listeners know social media wise how they can keep up with you, follow all of your adventures and see what you're doing.
Yeah, on Twitter, I'm JQ on Tech. It's JQ on Tech with an H on the end of it. If you're interested in cars, actually, I just started to do a website. It's called On the Road to Autonomy. On the Road to Autonomy, all one word, .com, and you'll see some articles there and about electrification of vehicles, technology, new safety systems, things like that. Because it's a lot to decipher. If you're trying to buy a car today, gosh, it's a lot different than it was just a few years ago.
So much cool stuff. You know, the one thing that we can guarantee is that it is going to be happening. It is coming, and it's great to have you here to help us kind of figure it out. So, John, thanks so much for being on the show today.
That's been fun.
All right, thanks. That is John Quain, and you can catch up with him. We'll have all of his links on the WGN Radio site as well.